Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The new Miami, surge, surge. It's a cane thing when we walk through. With the you ain't no bark, dude. Straight dog when we bring the fight. Ain't scared of no bark.
Here with Quincy Roche at the House of Athlete Combine. Thursday, guys are doing some lifting. Mm-hmm. You gonna do any lifting today?
No, sir. I'm gonna do all my work at the pro. By the pro day.
Okay.
I almost said combine, but I'm gonna do all my work at the pro day.
At the Miami, and that's the 29th, right?
29th. Yeah.
But you've been working out here for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about it. When did you start getting involved here?
I got here about 2 weeks after the season. Took about a week off. Spent some time with the family. Decompressed a little bit. I came out here for 2 weeks. I went down to Atlanta and trained with Chuck Smith for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Senior Bowl, and then right after I came back here. And I've been here ever since.
You had a really good week at the Senior Bowl. It feels like everybody was talking about you and the improvements that you made and just getting ready to make that jump. What's the last few months been like since the end of the season for you?
Honestly, it's just been a grind. I've been doing a lot of position work, a lot of speed work, a lot of work strengthening my body, corrective exercises, you know, just trying to get my body right and just trying to get better. I feel like I made a lot of a big stride since the season, and I just can't wait to showcase that.
Yeah, I was just talking with Amari Rodgers, who played receiver at Clemson, of course, one of your rivals, and he was telling me how he came here, he couldn't bench more than 20 reps, and he got 24 today, which was a career high.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at your numbers, you know, what you've been able to do so far, where are you hoping to make the biggest jumps?
My biggest jumps, I'm hoping to make, hopefully in my 40 time, you know, as everybody's probably would say the same thing, but I'm hoping to make my biggest jump in the 40 time.
Mm-hmm.
But I've definitely improved in my strength, and just my body movement patterns, you know, in general. But, you know, I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Yeah. How'd you do in the 40 before, and what are you targeting, like, as a time in your mind?
We'll wait and see on pro day.
Yeah.
What we get, but I have made some improvements in my time since I've been here.
Yeah.
Across the board, you know, my weight, my size, my body fat percentage, my bench test, the 40, the broad jump, the vertical. So I still got time. I'm still working, and I can't wait to see what I get on pro day.
Yeah. This is obviously such a weird time because you guys grow up dreaming of going to Indianapolis, participating in it.
Yeah.
Is it weird at all for you to be doing it in a different location, or are you fine? Have you kind of adjusted mentally to the, you know?
This whole year has been weird. This is still part of the COVID year. You know, of course, I would have loved to go to Indianapolis and have that whole experience. I would love to walk across the stage on draft day and have that experience, but, you know, we got to do what we got to do. I'm here, and everybody's going through the same thing. So, you know, it's just kind of take your punches and roll with them, and just, you know, I just have fun with it every day.
When you look back at coming to Miami, what was the best part of the experience coming here for your last year of college ball?
The best part of the experience was just getting a different experience, getting a different style of coaching, being around a new group of guys, learning how to adapt to a new situation, a new environment. And I thought Miami was a good place to do that at.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot, definitely a learning experience, and I wouldn't have traded this experience for nothing.
Yeah, I remember when we first talked to you, you talked about wanting to improve as a run defender, that was your main focus. How do you feel you did?
I did good. No, we talked before the Senior Bowl?
Well, before the season. Remember when you first got to Miami?
I feel like I did good. I made some strides. You know, obviously it was a different scheme. I had different responsibilities in the run game, different games.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I did good, and I really showcased that at the Senior Bowl, how much I improved in the run game. Just little things like pad level, hand placement, getting off the ball, not stopping your feet on contact, you know, those small little things, my base not being too narrow or not being too wide, just those little small things. Yeah. You know, I made some big strides in the run game, and even since the Senior Bowl, I've made some big strides.
Yeah. Hey, talk about those 2 weeks with Coach Smith. I mean, obviously, he's one of the best in the business. What was that like? What did you specifically focus on when you were working with him?
Yeah, so when I was with Chuck, I was working more, you know, straight pass rush. We do some run game stuff, but it was straight pass rush. But in the run game, I've been working with legendary coach Pete Jenkins, and he's actually the trainer here.
Okay.
And we do a lot of we do a lot of run game stuff, run technique stuff. You know, he's one of the best in the business as well. Mm-hmm. You know, two different philosophies, but two very good coaches. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, between those two, you know, I get a lot and I've learned a lot. But I get a lot of good work in with those guys, and it definitely has showed in my game.
I find it fascinating that there's three guys from Miami that are all going to get drafted that play defensive end.
Yeah.
I don't know how often that's happened in NFL history, but I guess from your perspective, how proud are you of that? You know, the fact that, you know, there's three of you dudes who basically do the same thing, hunt quarterbacks for a living, that, you know, you're all going to get an opportunity to play in the NFL.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have guys that, you know, we've built such a tight-knit relationship over that time, you know, and not only through just us being competitors, but, you know, us playing on the same team, you know, just sweat equity. Like, we've built such a good relationship. So, you know, I'm, like, extremely proud of those guys. They're extremely proud of me. And it's unique.
Yeah.
Like you said, not often do you get to see three guys from the same school go through this process. So, you know, it helps that I got the guys to go through it with. And so, you know, hopefully we'll take this competition onto the league and see who has the best rookie season.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Greg, because you obviously didn't get a chance to play with him. But I wonder how much he still was in contact with you guys, you know, during the season, giving you advice, talking. What was that like? Give me a picture.
One thing about Greg, so when I first came to Miami, he was one of the first people that, you know, welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, we kind of built a relationship. We went through the winter together. We went through the spring together. We went through the summer together. Then he opted out, you know. So we built quite a relationship, and during the season, you know, after every game, during the games, before the games, he'd be texting us. You could tell it was quite, like, emotional for him not being able to be on the field. So he's definitely a guy that loves football, that loves to be around football, loves to play it. So, you know, I'm sure next year he'll be a little bit antsy to get on the field.
And Jalen, you guys did end up obviously teaming up and becoming the best, to me, the best pass rushing combo in the country.
We were.
I mean, it was no question. Tell me just about that relationship with him. And did it get competitive? Was it friendly? What was it like?
Well, it's always friendly, but it's competitive as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in practice, you know, we're helping each other go over what to look for, what moves will work, what do I see in your game, what do you see in my game. And we get into the game, and of course, I'm trying to outcompete, outdo you, and you're trying to outdo me. So it's definitely competitive, but I wouldn't rather have it any other way.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you better when you got a guy on the other side that, or a guy that you're so close with, you know, that is on the same talent level, and like it makes just many plays, similar mentalities. So, you know, it's definitely fun, and I feel like we both better from this experience.
Yeah. When you first got back your grade from the NFL, what did you think?
And we're talking about this year or last year?
Well, last year and then this year, kind of the two reactions to it.
Last year, you know, I wasn't satisfied. You know, obviously I felt like I probably should have been a little bit higher. And this year, the same as well. But you know that those things are out of my control. Only thing I can control is showing up every day, being the same person I am every day, you know, producing when my name is called. I'm just getting better every day, you know. So certain things are out of my control. You know, I'm just happy and I'm blessed to be in a position where, you know, I'm worried. I have this problem of worry about where I'm going to go in the draft, you know. Because, I mean, you know, In my high school, you know, where I'm from, you know, there's nobody that gets those opportunities like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just blessed to be in this position. You know, I came so far, and, you know, I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I wanted to ask you about that, where you started, you know, and you think about your life as a young man, you know, just beginning to play football. Tell me about that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't tell this story enough, but, you know, I was the only player up until when I was in high school. I'm the only player to go Division I in my high school, out of my high school. Period. Like, yeah. And even to this day,
right.
And you know, that comes with a huge responsibility. You know, trying to do everything right. And, you know, that's a lot of guys back home that look up to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, and not only that, but I was a no-star prospect.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So even to come this far. You know, to be able to go to a Miami, like a Miami wouldn't even consider looking at me coming out of high school. Even to be able to go to a Miami, to be training around some of these guys who had so much success in high school and college, is a blessing for me. And so everything else is a plus. You know, I'm a competitor. I have a warrior mindset. Of course, I want to be the best, but, you know, the humble me inside of me is just blessed to be here.
Yeah. You talk about being a no-star recruit, not getting that attention because nobody from your high school had ever been to college. What was that like to go through? I mean, you know, when you were just emotionally, mentally, you know, when.
Yeah.
I mean, and what schools really, besides Temple, offered you?
I'll start answering your last question first.
Yeah.
You had Temple, Furman, Monmouth, Appalachian State, and Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers offered me on signing day, but for the most part, I had five solid offers. You know, Division One, Double A, and Division One A offers.
Mm-hmm.
And Temple was the best fit for me. Your first question was, how was that for me emotionally and mentally?
Yeah.
I didn't really feel any type of way about it because I kind of knew my situation. You know, at Temple, we all come from similar backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
We're all those under-recruited. Underrated guys, you know, that come out and all of a sudden we come out of the woodworks. But, you know, that's the style of guys that they recruit, you know, those blue collar, gritty, chip on your shoulder guys.
Yeah.
And I'll carry that chip with me for the rest of my career because I always feel like, you know, I always fall behind the curve.
Yeah.
But, you know, when everything hits the fan, you know, all my production, all my mentality, my work ethic, it always serves the purpose. So, you know, I just keep doing what I do, keep getting better, you know, we'll see where this thing goes.
Yeah. Were you the kind of kid who was sending your tapes out to everywhere, like hoping to get the Power 5 offer, or were you just like, hey, I know
that was
good
me.
I am.
That was me.
That was
yeah. I still looked at my email. I got hundreds of emails. I used to send my tape out. I try to get in contact with coaches. That was my grind.
Yeah. Who are you reaching out to? Some people?
Everybody. I reached out to. I literally about 100 schools.
You did? Emails yourself?
Emails myself.
With my film.
Yeah. I'll show you after the interview.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I still – and you got guys in my high school today that reach out. What do I say? What do I look – you know, and that's my role, my responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and part of what I give back to the guys in my position, in my similar position at my high school.
Mm-hmm.
But, that was me, man, reaching out to schools, you know.
You would look up,
I grill people for their coaches' information. And just find what I could. And, you know, I get their email, their phone number, and I do the legwork myself. It was definitely a grind. But I honestly wouldn't rather had it any other way.
Yeah. It made you who you are. It's your personality.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you get no's? Like, did people respond to you, or they just like ignore the emails?
Out of probably the hundreds or something I sent, I probably got like five responses.
Wow. And what would they say?
We've seen your film. You know, we didn't realize that, you know, you got really good tape, and you didn't realize how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. That whole rundown, but.
And the schools would, and those schools offered you, or did they?
Temple was one of the schools.
Okay.
Temple was one of the schools, but you know, most of the schools, you know, like the Pitts and the, we didn't know how you would do at some schools. Told me that I'd never be able to play in the ACC.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say no names, but
was Miami one of those?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, it was Pitt.
Initially.
Pitt
yeah.
told me I'd never be able to play in the ACC at 205 pounds.
Right.
And that's what I was coming out of high school.
Right.
Come find out I played against him this year.
Yeah. Had a pretty good day.
Had a pretty good day.
I'm sure you were motivated.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pitt, Wake Forest, Duke, all guys who told me I'm not big enough to play Power 5. And, you know, there's plenty of guys who say I'm not big enough to play in the league. So, you know, I just keep striving. I look at it as motivation. We'll see when that time comes for sure.
It's funny how the world works. Manny Diaz leaves the Temple for 17 days, and he comes back with you and Coach Felix. I don't know if he doesn't take that job if you end up at Miami. I mean, have you thought about that at all? Were they talking to you before Manny got the job over there?
You know, so they weren't talking to me before Manny got over there, no. Uh-huh. Nobody was talking to me at Temple because I didn't even want to leave Temple at that time.
Yeah.
You know, but when I got into the portal, I was just looking for what made sense. What scheme would I fit best in? What coaching style would I fit best in? And who had the right supporting cast that would allow me to be the best? And I really felt like Miami was the best fit. And I feel like we had a very successful season there. We won a lot of games. You know, I played an excellent role there. And so I wouldn't change anything about my decision.
Yeah. Do you think you would have ended up at Miami, though, had Manny not gotten the job at Temple? Do you think that would have been a possibility?
If it was Manny, if it was John Harbaugh, if it was anybody. I mean, you know, when I looked at it from a coaching style point of view, a scheme point of view, in the supporting cast around me, the Greg Rousseau's, the Nestor Jay Severas, the Jalen Phillips, the John Forge, I knew it was the right fit.
Yeah. Well, I know for you, but I'm wondering from them, from their perspective, do you think they would have, you know, had Manny not built that, because he built that relationship with you at Temple, right? I'm sure he must have the day he got hired.
You know, We weren't really that close because I didn't know him.
Right.
We had a team meeting, and he said he was going to coach the bowl game, and I didn't see him again until I was in the portal.
Right.
So, you know, we didn't really build a relationship until I got into the portal, but I would say more so that was a connection that we had right off the bat. Right off the bat, we were able to connect, and we had that in common.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we just hit it off, and, you know, He said all of the right things that, you know, I thought that we shared the same vision. And I knew that we could have a successful team.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt. And now he's calling plays again, which is going to be different and good for them, I think, in a lot of ways. Being a guy who played there for a year and you saw the way the defense played, what kind of impact do you think Manny will make?
You know, he'll definitely make an impact because, you know, he's a guy that, you know, knows how to demand respect from the guys, you know, has respect from a lot of the guys. You know, he's a really good coach. And he's kind of a guy where, you know, he has a way to get guys to do what he asks them to do.
Right.
So I definitely think even his football genius, you know, he's a very smart coach. So I definitely think that they'll benefit from having Diaz as a play caller.
Not speaking ill of any of the guys.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'll even go as far as to say, you know, with Coach Baker, you know, Coach Baker catches a lot of flack because of the North Carolina game. But, you know, in all honesty, like watching the game and breaking the game down, there was an MA or two on every play. There was about 10, 15 missed tackles.
Yeah.
Those are things that the coach has no control over.
Right.
At the end of the day, we were the guys out there on the field.
Right.
We were the guys getting cut block on our one-on-one blocks.
Yeah.
We were the guys getting cut out of our gaps.
Yeah.
We were the guys out of position, and we were the guys getting stiff-armed and ran through our tackles.
Yeah.
Not Coach Baker.
Right.
So, you know, he catches a lot of flack for that game, but, you know, at the end of the day, we were the guys out there that were trying to execute the game plan.
Yeah. In the end, though, you did say you feel like Coach Diaz will command maybe more respect. And I think maybe that just has to do with the fact that he's a guy who has done this for so much longer. He's the head coach. Do you see it that way? Is that kind of what you mean? Like,
yeah, him being the head coach, there's nobody that's not going to listen to him.
Right.
And so as long as, you know, he dials up the right things, he tells him to be in the right place, you know, they'll be successful. Mm-hmm. You know, and just looking at his track record, from what I've seen, he's never had a defense that wasn't successful. So I don't see this year being any different. You know, everybody on the team's coming back except me, Jalen, Jose, and Brevin. So they got the bulk of the guys there. And honestly, I can't wait to see them play next year. I'll be at the game when they're in the conference championship.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, man. They really need to take that step up. It feels like, you know, the pressure. Yeah. What do you? I mean, as far as D'Eriq as a leader, I know he was a guy who would come and talk to the defensive guys. Why is he special?
D'Eriq he's different, and you can see it off the field. He is who he is on the field. He is who he is off the field. You know, I was his roommate, so, you know, even him telling me, okay, so, for example, he tell me, yeah, we're going to leave at 8:15 in the morning, right? Okay, so we go to the facility together. You say we're going to leave at 8:15. At 8:12, he knocking on my door. He got the key in the door. Yo, like, come on, bro, you ready to go? Like, I'm like, bro, you said 8:15, like... But that's just who he is. Yeah. You know, that's his style. You know, that's who he is, and he's that person every day. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that's organized. You know, he's the guy that's always on top of his business. So he does it right on and off the field. So, you know, guys like that, he's different, and which is why I'll even go a step further and say, you know, he'll have no problem coming back from his ACL because guys like that always has success like recovering from injuries. Yeah. It's just about discipline and staying on top of your business.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Yeah, I was talking to Amari Rodgers, who came back in 5.5 months. I mean, with the modern science nowadays, it feels like guys can come back from it a lot faster.
Yeah, you know, it's not the end of the world at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about your mentality. If you feel like it's the end of the world, then sure, it'll be the end of the world. But, you know, he has a warrior mentality, a fighter spirit. And, you know, he's already walking around. You know, he's already trying to throw passes. You know, I just seen him two, three nights ago. You know, he's already trying to throw passes and walking around. And he's making – He's surprising me, really.
Really? Over the stripes? Yeah, I mean, Miami fans have their fingers crossed because they know, you know.
Nah, they don't have anything to worry about. Derek will be back. Yeah. I'm telling you, he'll be back.
Give me a good off-the-field story. You were roommates with him. What did you guys do for fun? What's kind of a good Derek cutting loose moment?
So we had this little basketball hoop in I still didn't play in one-on-one yet, but okay. Eventually I'll play in one-on-one.
Okay.
But we had this little basketball hoop in the room, and so we play one-on-one in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just kind of get to see his personality. You know, that was the first time I really got to see his personality because,
mm-hmm.
You know, I played against him at Houston, but, you know, that's my quarterback, so I'm barely competing against him in practice.
Right.
So, you know, he let loose. We were playing one-on-one. You know, I'm still going to play him, though, eventually, you know, hopefully in my first offseason. He's going to do this process next year. You know, I'll play him.
Yeah. Is he a shooter, or is he a guy who takes it to the hole?
He's not taking me to the hole. You know, he ain't got no choice but to shoot when he's going against me.
Yeah, yeah. The guys that you're leaving behind on the defensive end, they're all young guys. Jafari, Chance, all those guys. Tell me a little bit about them and why maybe you got faith they'll be all right.
You know, because, you know, I feel like between the coaching that they have up there, you know, the example that we set last year, you know, they'll be highly motivated. They'll be coached to be in the right positions. And aside from that, those are talented guys.
Mm-hmm.
Chance, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Jafari, you've seen what he can do in the short amount of time that he was on the field. You've seen what he can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's guys there. Cam, you know, there's guys there that that can do the job.
Yeah.
So it's just about them making sure that they take every day serious leading up to the season. And it's really on them to capitalize on this opportunity that they have.
To me, you're the king of the moves. You got the best moves that I've seen, you know, swim move, different things that you do. Who's got the best moves now, man, now that you're gone?
Jafari.
Mm-hmm. What does he do really well?
He has a good understanding. You know, his get-off is like... Mm-hmm. It's super fast, like mm-hmm. super fast. He has good hands, and he just got that natural twitch. He has those natural instincts mm-hmm. to get around the edge, and you could see it last year. I talked to him a lot of times because I see a lot of similarities. You know, my freshman year at Temple, I was behind 3-4 guys who are all in the NFL now, so I kind of knew I wasn't gonna get a lot of PT, but you know, on the field I would make strides. You know, I would make plays and those little 3-4 plays I would get. And I see a lot of similarities in Jafari. You know, he'd only get 5-10-12 plays, but in those 5-10-12 plays, he might have a strip sack.
Right.
So, you know, you see those flashes in those short amount of times. So I'm optimistic about his future, for sure.
Yeah, he showed it in the bowl game. He had the sack, mm-hmm. strip, fumble. And
he had one against Pitt.
Yeah.
He had one against Florida State, if I'm not mistaken. I know it was Pitt. He had three of them, right?
Mm-hmm. I think he had three for the year, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, and those were in 10, 12 plays.
Right.
So, you know, I can't imagine what he – of course, it's different being in the game for 50 plays.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the conversation what I just had with him a couple weeks ago is that you got to prepare your body to be able to play 50 plays because I know in your mind, because I've been there before, in your mind you feel like, you know, if I can make – 3 plays and 12 plays, imagine what I can do in 50 plays, but it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
In 50 plays, your body will be a lot more worn down. The guy will know you a lot better. And so, you know, you got to kind of factor some of those things in. So, but I'm optimistic about his future for sure.
What do you like about Chance's game? Everybody's excited about him because he was one of the top-rated kids.
So for a young guy, he has some of the best instincts I've ever seen for a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's 250, 260 pounds. Super physical, and he gets it, like, off the field. He gets that you got to stay in the training room. He gets that you got to be in the film room. That he gets that you got to be in the playbook from the time he walked in. So just from a maturity level, you can see that he doesn't have as much growth as some other people may have from a mental or maturity standpoint.
Right. And Cam, he obviously got a chance to play some
Right. So Cam, you know, he's been around some good football players. He got the opportunity to play with Greg, you know, Garvin, Trayvon Hill, me, Jalen. So he's seen so much. You know, he's a guy that in one-on-ones he'd always pull me and Jalen to the side like, hey, man, what do I do here? Hey, man, why y'all do that? Hey, man, like, how you do that?
He asks questions. That's good.
You know, that's, like I said, they'll be fine from a defensive line standpoint. And, you know, I'm really optimistic about them. I fully expect them to go to the championship next year and do some big things.
I should have started with this, but to ask you about yourself growing up, what was life like, you know, and now when you think about NFL dreams and that money, you know, the parallels. Can you talk about that?
In terms of what? Could you
growing up, you know, just dreams that you had. Every kid dreams of being something, right?
Definitely.
When you were dreaming of being a football player and maybe the way you grew up at home, what did you envision? What did you hope for? You
know? I always envisioned myself going to the draft. You know, I had never expected myself to. I really exceeded my expectations from what I had when I was younger to be able to be at the top of the draft. Coming into Temple, you know, my expectations weren't as high. I was just happy, man. Hopefully one day I'll get a chance to be on a roster somewhere. But since then, my mentality's changed. You know, I fully expect myself to be able to compete for a job. My goal for myself is to be able to establish a role on the team, you know, learn from as many guys as I can, and hopefully make an impact where I fit in.
And how old are you now?
I'm 23. I just turned 23 February 10th.
What'd you do? Have any fun? Do anything fun?
I mean, I've been training, so I can't do but so much. but, you know, I just chill with a couple guys, you know, Jade, De'Aaron, a couple guys I trained with parents for, you know, just chill, you know.
Yeah. Getting ready for the big moment.
Yeah, you know, I can't do but so much. You know, I'm training, I'm trying to stay focused, I'm trying to stay locked in. And, you know, this is my priority right now.
Did you have a favorite player growing up? Somebody you watch or admire? Somebody you study on?
So, from a pass rusher standpoint?
Yeah, or so even just a fan
I used to want to be a skilled guy, so LT was always my favorite. But honestly, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis was like the reasons that I would like that I wanted to play defense. I always wanted to be a wide receiver. And Ed Reed and Ray Lewis were like, you know, growing up in Baltimore, you know, watching them, that was my favorite team. So those were the two people that impacted like my mentality and my, you know, that grind and that grit the most. Those are the two people I attribute that to.
And what was it like meeting Ed? And how often did you get to pick his brain?
I told him. I was like, man, like, you don't even know. Like, I got a pair of cleats that he had signed. And I told him, like, bro, you don't even know. Like, I went to one or two of your camps. Like, I got signed cleats from me. Like, man, like, yeah. I was like, yeah, man, I used to play at Ramstein. I used to play right up there in Northwest. And he was like, yeah. That was many, many years ago. But it was crazy because when he seen me, he knew who I was already. And I was like, man, like. So it was definitely a I was definitely a little starstruck that first, but you know what? He's a good dude. He's one of the most humble, down to earth guys you'll ever meet. And you know, you see people in pads, so you never get to see that side of them. And so I was just glad that I got to see I got to meet Ed Reed the person. And so I'm honored to be able to have that experience for sure.
What was the best piece of advice he gave you? Anything that sticks with you?
Just So me and him had one of my last days on campus, I actually just sat in his office and I just talked to him. He kind of told me about this process, you know, and really he just told me, a lot of guys worry about, the one thing that stuck to me is, a lot of guys worry about, I want to go first round, I want to go second round. He said when he was coming out, he wasn't concerned about where he wanted to go in the draft, because he knew that when he got to the league, he wasn't one of those guys that was just okay with being drafted. He knew that he was going for a reason, and that he wanted to have an impact on the league. And I share that same mentality. I'm not really concerned about where I fall, where I land, whether it be high or low. When I get there, though, I fully expect to prove myself.
And did you get a chance to meet Ray in person? Miami?
So those guys are real involved in the community in Baltimore. So I've met him over the time, like plenty of times over the years. Mm-hmm. And so, he's another guy that when you meet Ray Lewis the person, you'll be surprised, because you see him so energetic in the past. But those are two guys who are down to earth, real humble, personable guys in person. And so, like I said, I'm honored to be able to meet them, the people outside of the pads. It's truly an honor.
Yeah. Quincy, man, you're giving me half an hour. I really appreciate all the time, man. Anything you want to say to Canes fans?
Hang in there with us. I'm sure they'll be in the championship this year because I'll be there. I'll be there on the sideline.
You're going to be there watching.
Yep.
All right, bro.
305-954-568. This is the state of Miami.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.